All right, Rabosei, good evening, good evening. I thank you again to Rabbi Chaim for giving the shir last night. Tremendous shkoyach. So we'll say, so we are picking up, Hayim Mispalal Umatzah Tzoah. So four lines up from the bottom. Hayim Mispalal Umatzah Tzoah Bem Komo. So we'll say, what happens if a person is davening and they find excrement? They find excrement in the very place where they're davening. So what's Talocha? Omer Rabba, Afa Pi Shechata Tfilosot Tfilos. So an interesting statement of this. Rabba says, even though we sinned, right, even though the individual sinned, his tefillah is still a tefillah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, what does this mean? Maskifla Rava Vaha Zevach Rashaim Ta'iva. But I will say, but in general, what do you mean if he sinned that his tefillah is a tefillah? Bepashtos, if he sinned, that should mean that his tefillah is not a proper tefillah. So what's going on over here? Ela Amar Rava Hoil Vechata Afa Pishis Balo Tefillah Sato'iva. Rather, Rava says what it means like this, like this. That even though he davened, even though he already davened, Halach Lamay says tefillah is an abomination. Meaning what? Rabbi Hussein, this is actually an interesting idea over here. What's happened? The assumption over here that what's happening is that a person davened and they did not exhibit enough care and concern or vigilance about the place where they're davening to check to make sure that it's a friendly davening atmosphere. So therefore, again, a person didn't do the right due diligence before they davened, ended up davening in a place where there's excrement. So ultimately, again, even though you davened, so technically you said the words, but Lamaisa says such a tefillah is an abomination. Well, see, if you think about it, it's such an incredibly beautiful, I mean, it's not beautiful, but it's a profound idea, which is that at the end of the day, a person has an obligation to go ahead and make sure that the circumstances around them are correct. You know, so many times we just focus on what it is that we're doing, and we don't necessarily focus on setting the right atmosphere around us. So here it is, you're davening, but you weren't vigilant enough to go ahead and look, is the place a place that's good for davening? Turns out now that there's excrement over here. So lemaisa, again, even though technically you said the words, that's not a tefillah. Very beautiful. Tan Rabbanan, another interesting case over here. Hayo omeid b'tefillah umayim shosasin al birkav. If a person was davening, and literally, again, urine was trickling down his legs. And we'll say, I'll tell you something interesting. A lot of these gemaras, by the way, are the source for the halachos of davening if a person has a catheter. Right? What happens in a situation like that where there could be an ongoing flow of urine? So a lot of interesting halachas concerning that. But in any event, let's start over here. So a person is davening, and literally, again, there's urine trickling down their legs. So what's the halacha? Posek achi yichlu hamayim. So we'll say, you know, you could see a case like this. Person's incontinent, right? The person's unable, unfortunately, to control their bodily needs. So a person realizes there's urine trickling down. So what do? A person's in the middle of davening. So what should a person do? Posek achi yichlu hamayim. Stop until the urine, right, until the urine finishes. V'chozer umispalo. And you go back and you daven. Now, here's what's interesting. Lehechon chozer. So when we say you go back and you daven, go back to what? Go back to what? Leichan chozer. Where do you go back to? So Rav Chisra v'Hamnuna. So it's machlokes Rav Chisra v'Hamnuna. Chad amar chozer l'rosh. One opinion said you go back to the beginning of davening. In other words, you have to start all over again. The chad amar. The other opinion said chad amar l'makom shepasak. No, you go back to the place where you stopped. So just to plug in this case. Reuven's davening, and what happens, unfortunately, again, either he loses control of himself or whatever the situation is, and he begins to urinate. So obviously, while the urination is occurring, a person can't daven. What does he do? He stops, and he waits until the urination is completed. Then he goes back and he davens. The shaila is, where do you go back to? So first opinion, Rav Chista, you go back to the beginning. You have to start all over again. Rav Hamnuna, no, you don't have to go back to the beginning. Rather, what? Pick up exactly where you left off. Wherever you stopped, that's where you pick up. So let's analyze a bit more. They're in Bahakam for this. What are they arguing about? Top of Chaf Gimel. I will say, Chaim really inspired me to pick up the pace a little bit over here. How did you get so far?
I don't have the ability to talk about Soa
in a metaphorical way. Got it. Okay, you can work on that. You can work on that. Something to aspire to. So the Gemara says, Top of Chav Gimel, 23a. So we'll see, what are they arguing about? So Marsav, there's beauty in everything. There's beauty in everything. So Marsav, we'll say, one opinion holds. Listen to this. Im shal kidei ligmar askula, chozer l'rosh, umar sav l'makom shepasak. So we'll say, here, the Gemara posits, here's the machlokes. What happens if a person pauses in the middle of Shemona Esrei? And it's a long pause. And let's say it's a pause that is so long, that's what? that a person could even go ahead and recite the entire Shmona Esrei. So, meaning, for argument's sake, let's say it takes 6 minutes to say Shmona Esrei, for argument's sake, right? So now let's say, again, a person pauses in the middle of Shmona Esrei and they pause for 6 minutes. So now when you resume, where do you go back to? Do we say that since you paused long enough to recite the entire Shmona Esrei, therefore what? You go back to the beginning, or maybe not, you still go back ultimately again to where you stopped. So Rav Asher says, no, no, no. Hayim Shah, im lo shah mi bayle. If that's the case, then the Gemara shouldn't have written if he waited, if he tarried. Rather, it should say if he did not tarry. In other words, if he didn't tarry long enough to finish the entire Shmona Esrei, it goes back to where he stopped. So Gemara says, Ella, Gemara says the most, this is very interesting. Chaf Gimel Amadav 23a, 4 lines down. Ella, dechuli alma, im shah kede ligmar askula, choz l'rosh. So the most say, this is actually halacha l'maisa. Everyone agrees. That if in the middle of Shmona Esrei you pause long enough to recite the entire Shmona Esrei, so for example, I'll say, by the way, lest you think that this can't happen, right? A person just, their mind starts wandering in the middle of Shmona Esrei. It could happen. And let's say you're getting some really good work done there in the middle of Shmona Esrei, right? So by the time you finish, right, you've solved the problems, right? You've already scheduled meetings. You closed 14 deals, right? All in your head. It's incredible. All in your head. So let's say everyone agrees that if you interrupted and you paused in Shmona Esrei long enough, the amount of time that it would take to recite the entire Shmona Esrei, everyone agrees you go back to the beginning, right? And that's the halacha. That's halacha. So you're daydreaming, you just lose your concentration, you drift off in thought, and you realize, oh, it's 7 minutes. I'm using 6 minutes as the example of Shmona Esrei. 6 minutes later now, you go back and you start again. Okay, the Gemara says, the hasam bedelo shaka mefligi. So we'll say, so obviously, the case that we're talking about over here is where a person did not pause for that long. So we'll say, so let's go back. Let's plug this back in now. Reuven, unfortunately, is incontinent. So what happens? He begins to urinate in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So first of all, what's talacha? Number one is stop, pause, right? While the actual urination is occurring, you're not allowed to daven. So you have to stop. You have to stop. That's number one. So now we'll say, now he stops. So now he stops. So now, halacha number two is, if the pause is long enough that one could have recited the entire Shmona Esrei, then what? You go back to the beginning. Our machlokas is, let's say the pause was 3 minutes. So not long enough to recite the entire Shmona Esrei. When the urination finishes, where do you pick up from? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Gavra Dechuyu Ve'ein Roi Ve'ein Tfila So Tfila. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So the first opinion says like this. If you get into a situation like this where you have uncontrolled urination in the middle of Shmona Esrei, that means that what? You shouldn't have started to begin with. And I will say, there is a halacha like this, and this is kind of what the Gemara is pointing out, that if a person doesn't have the ability to control their bowels, then or the control just, you know, elimination of waste, they're potter from davening. You're not supposed to daven. It's very important. A person has a stomach ache. A person has a stomach virus. A person is incontinent. Again, there's a lot of shilas with this because incontinence could be, you know, obviously an ongoing situation. So what does a person like that do about davening? It's a real discussion. A person is catheterized or catheterized? Catheterized? Catheterized, right? So a person is catheterized, right? So what are you doing? So again, without delving into the Lamaisa cases, the Gemara says like this. One opinion says, if you can't control yourself, and the urine literally, I must say, we're talking about, to me, this sounds much more like a case of incontinence, or I guess it could be also a case of just where a person just can't hold it anymore, right? So they just have no choice but to relieve themselves. Obviously, in that kind of scenario, you shouldn't have started. So the Gemara says, Gavra dechuyuhu, such a person should have never been davening from the beginning. So because he should never have been davening from the beginning, therefore what? Therefore his tefillah is inappropriate to begin with. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, you have to start all over again. The Gemara says, Umar sever gavra chazihu, tefillah sa tefillah. The other opinion says, no. I will say, you know, the human body is an incredible enigma, right? And the truth is, it's possible for a person to have started davening while feeling totally confident and physically sound, and something happens. Something happens, right? And then suddenly, again, a person is in a situation they can't control. So what do you do again? You stop. allow again the urination to finish up, and then halacha lemaisa ultimately pick up from where you left off. So Rabbosai, that is the fundamental machlokis over here. So Rabbosai, so halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin like this, if a person were to get to a situation like this, is that halacha lemaisa, if a person is urinating, let's say in the middle of Shmona Esrei, they wait to the urination to stop. Right, can't daven while you're urinating, so stop. And then ultimately, again, assuming that a person hasn't paused for the amount of time. So let me go back. If the pause is the amount of time that it takes to recite the entire Shemona Esrei, start again. Assuming that it wasn't that long, we paskin, you pick up from where you left off. You pick up where you left off. So I will say, with a person who has a catheter, the challenging part is that sometimes, again, the urine is being removed from the body, but lav dafka, that a person feels exactly when that's occurring, right? That could just be like a continuous thing. So the way generally, again, the halacha understands a person with a catheter is that as long as a person doesn't actively feel the fact that they're urinating, so essentially as long as the person is covered and the bag, the receptacle for the urine, is covered as well, assuming also there's no odor, then halacha lemaisa, one could daven. Again, tefillin is kind of a little bit of a different type of situation because tefillin requires a clean body. So the problem just is when a person is in an active state of kind of relieving themselves, there's a lot of discussion there about tefillin. But again, those halachas are a bit more involved. But just understand, it all comes from here. It all comes from here. All right, let's go back to Tana Rabbanan. First white line about say hanitzrach lenekabav al yispalos. Here it is. If a person needs to go to the bathroom, they shouldn't daven. I'm about to say, the truth is, there's a halacha like this. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch says, before you get up, before you daven, a person, literally again, person should check his body, which essentially means, do you have to go to the bathroom? You have to go to the bathroom, right? Again, if you have to go to the bathroom, then it's important for one to relieve oneself before davening. It's because hanitzrach lenekabav, if you already have to go to the bathroom, al yispalo, you should not daven. Ve'im yispalo, what if you did daven, but you need to go to the bathroom? So we'll say, we're not talking about a situation over here where a person needs to go to the bathroom and then, you know, loses control. Talking about, again, we all know, in other words, it's definitely, I have to go to the bathroom, but I can hold it. I can hold it. I'm okay. You can't daven in that state. You get which I both say makes sense on a number of different levels. First of all, from a certain intuitive level, it's pretty hard to concentrate on anything if you really have to go to the bathroom. Right? That's number one. That's number one. Number two, I both say, is that there's the concept that a person should be in a physical state of preparedness when they come before God. And part of that physical state of preparedness is you don't have to go to the bathroom. The lashon of Chazal is bodek nikabav, which literally means like you've, I don't know the good English translation of that is, you've checked your bowels. I don't know if that's the right, you've checked if you need to go to the bathroom. So therefore, again, person shouldn't down if you need to go to the bathroom. And if you did so, such a tefillah is an abomination, which by the way is pretty strong wording, right? Pretty strong wording. Amar Rav Zvid v'itim Rav Yehuda, lo shanu ela sheni yachal lishos biatzmo. Now both say, that's only true, the Gemara says, if you can't hold it in. But if you can hold it, then ultimately, again, your davening is okay. Now, I will say, get a little technical. How long do you have to be able to hold it? In other words, what is that? The amount of time that it takes to walk a parsa. So we'll say parsa is somewhere between 2.5 and 3 miles. So how long does it take to walk 2.5 to 3 miles at a brisk pace? I don't know. 45 minutes? Yeah, right. 40 minutes, something like that. Right. 72 minutes? Interesting. Okay, 72 minutes. Good. So I'll say, so halacha lemaisa, which essentially, I don't know. I guess I'm getting older, but like, I don't know, anything you can hold for 72 minutes, right? It doesn't really exist, right? It's not really that. I guess it's saying a person has a quasi urge, but doesn't need to do anything. Okay. Ad parsa. Ikida masni la masni. So others explain. When is this so? Kishain yacholamor alatzmo. We will say, when is this so that halach lemaisa, you cannot daven if you have to go to the bathroom? This is talking about a situation where literally, again, a person cannot hold themselves back. Aval, im yochol lamod al atzmo, but if a person is able to hold themselves back, then tefilah so tefilah. then ultimately, again, their davening is fine. The ad kama, and how much, right? How long does a person have to be able to hold in order to be able to daven? Amar zvid ad parsa. Okay, beautiful. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Hanitzrach l'nekabaf, if a person needs to go to the bathroom and leave themselves, hare ze lo yispalo. A person should not daven. Mishum shenemar, because the Pasuk says, hikon likras elokecha Yisrael. Literally, again, prepare yourself to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I will say, what does it mean to prepare yourself? It means make sure you're in a state of physical preparedness. Make sure you're ready. What does that entail? At least on this level, what it entails ultimately, again, is making sure you don't need to relieve yourself. Okay, incredible. From Rabbi Yishua Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonasan. My da'amar shmar raglocha kasher teilech al beis elokim. So I will say, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, literally, watch your feet when you go to the house of God? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Shmar asmicha shelo techta. What it means is, guard yourself that you don't sin. So I will say, if you think about it, this is a very profound statement in and of itself. In order to avoid sin, I will say, what do I need in life? Vigilance. Vigilance. If I am not vigilant, I am going to make mistakes. It's just the nature of life. That's why the Lashon over here is Shmar Atzmecha. You have to watch over yourself. If you watch over yourself, Shelo Techata, you won't sin. Without vigilance, we'll say, it's so, you know, so many times we get ourselves like into trouble in life and we're like, I don't understand. How did I get here? Like, how did this happen? And it's very simple. It's not sometimes because I engage in premeditated sin. But a lot of times in life, I didn't do anything premeditated. A lot of times in life, the reason I find myself in compromised situations is actually quite simple. Because I didn't exercise proactive vigilance. I guess vigilance is always proactive, right? I was not vigilant in life. So the Gemara says, Shmar asmecha shelo techta. You have to watch over yourself. You have to be vigilant. You have to be proactive so that you don't get yourself into bad situations. Now watch this. Vim techta. And ultimately, again, if you sin, then what should you do? Have karban lefanai. The garbage show. What do you do if you sin? Bring a karban. Now, what does it mean, bring a karban? So, this is so profound. So, step number one in life is be vigilant and don't sin. What happens if I sin? And we'll say, what's the step after that? Own it, bring a karban. Bring a karban means acknowledge it, own it, rectify it. I say, it's such a, you know, sometimes in life, we make mistakes. Well, often in life we make mistakes. And it's almost like the reflexive reaction is to figure out, who can I blame? Right? Whose fault is it? And the truth is, we're very talented because we could come up with an entire list of people who are to blame. It's always interesting how there's often one person missing from that list. Right? Who's missing? Me. It's my mother, my father, my siblings, my spouse, my kids, my Rebbe. Right? Everyone is at fault except me. So we'll say, it's such a profound Gemara. The Gemara says, Shmar raglecha means be proactive, be vigilant, prevent yourself from getting into bad situations. But if you do, Telech Beis Elokim, then what should you do? Acknowledge it, own it, rectify it. That's it. Acknowledge, own, rectify. That's it. That's the secret to successful living. Amar Rava says, Have karov lishma divrei chachamim, shimchotim mevim karbon ba'osim tshuva. So the Gemara says, mitei saksilim. So the Rava gives a different interpretation. He says, literally, again, bring yourself close to listen to the words of the sages. Because ultimately, again, if a person is close to the words of the chachamim, then ultimately, again, what happens? If they make chachamim understand, so he will say, even if a person is a chacham, they still make mistakes. So what's there between a chacham and a regular person? That a chacham owns it. A chacham, what does he do if he goes there and he makes a mistake? He brings a karban. Brings a karban represents, I own it. I acknowledge it, I own it. Va'osim tshuva, and they do tshuva. Miseisak silim. So what does it mean? Don't be like the fools. Ati kik silim, shechotim umevim karban ve'inam osim tshuva. See, it's interesting. The fools, what do the fools do? The fools, they sin, and they bring a karban, but they don't do tshuva. Rabbi said, we're going to see, there's nothing worse than bringing a karban and not doing tshuva. Why? Because then you pretty much relegate Yiddishkeit to like a hocus pocus, right? I just need to bring this karban and ta-da, everything is taken care of. A karban is only effective if a person does tshuva. So the fool brings a carbon, and it's foolish because, remember, a carbon costs money. Carbon costs money. So it's foolish. I spent the money on the carbon, but yet again, I did not engage in the actual cathartic, comprehensive process of tshuva. For they do not know how to perform evil. If they don't know how to perform evil, then they're righteous. So right, don't be like the foolish ones who perform a sin, they bring a carbon, and they don't even know why they're bringing the carbon. Am I bringing the carbon for something good I did, something bad I did? They're just bringing the carbon. The wicked person can't tell their sin good and evil. They mevi'in carbon lefanai, and ultimately, again, they bring a carbon before me. Doesn't make any sense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want empty actions. He doesn't want empty actions. He doesn't need mechanistic behavior that has no depth to it. He wants our heart. And he wants to know that if we make a mistake, I own it. I acknowledge it, I own it, and I rectify it. Well, so let's just finish up with this. Ravashi Vitema. What does the pasuk mean? The pasuk means watch your bodily functions at the time that you stand in prayer. That again, when a person goes ahead and davens, A, they have to check themselves before they daven that they've taken care of their bodily needs. And if for some reason the need arises mid-prayer, ultimately again, stop until the need passes or until it's rectified. We'll stop over for tonight. Everyone is invited to Chassidus in the Beis Medrash. And again, thank you to Reb Chaim for last night.